Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey today, and it is a pleasure to be behind the mic for Maria. And welcome to Mom Talk Radio. We have a great show lined up. I mean, I was just reading all the bios and the topics, and it's going to be a good one. So I'll cover that in just a minute, but I wanted to bring up a couple of quick topics. And the first one is about reading, and our pals at leapfrog.com, who we have worked with before at Mom Talk Radio, they are issuing a reading month challenge. March is National Reading Month. And if you're like me, you have a book in your hand, or I usually have two or three books going. I'm in a book club and all that. And sure enough, I have three kids who are book lovers too. So LeapFrog has a challenge, a 2020 challenge, and they'd like all parents to get involved in this. If you go to leapfrog.com/challenge, and take the LeapFrog challenge. It's about encouraging kids to read. And they're partnering with a great nonprofit, Christy Yamaguchi's Always Dream Foundation, to donate 20 books to the foundation's underserved classrooms for every pledge received. And they're planning to donate 350,000 books to children in need. So what a worthy project for LeapFrog. So check out leapfrog.com/challenge. And again, and if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, share this, because it's through the whole month of March. Again, it's the 2020 challenge. And since the whole month is about National Reading Month, anytime you get on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, shout out to your friends and your family and your entire network, because I know a lot of moms and dads that are listening out there have huge social media networks. So let everybody know about this challenge. It's a it's a really great opportunity to spread the love of reading. And then March is also Nutrition Awareness Month. And with that in mind, it's all about eating healthy. And there's a great site called eatrightpro.org that you can look for. And when we talk about nutrition, we are going to talk about prenatal nutrition. So a great time to mention our Pre-Mama sponsorship. Pre-Mama is the prenatal vitamin you can mix in a beverage. So there are three popular formulas right now. The complete formula is available at Target.com, and the essentials and plus formulas are available on Amazon.com, as well as specialty retailers, some vitamin shops around the country. So go to drinkpremama.com and check out the information about this awesome product. You don't want to gag on those prenatal horse pills. So if you're taking a prenatal vitamin, if you're a woman of childbearing age, if you're trying to conceive, if you're already pregnant or breastfeeding, this is a great way to get your daily intake of this a prenatal vitamin. And again, you mix this one sleeve in your drink. If it's juice, you can try it in water, juice. So that's just so many ways you can take this great prenatal vitamin. So check it out. Again, drinkpremama.com. Follow them on Facebook and Twitter too. And our show today, we're covering everything. We're talking to Elizabeth Higgins Clark, a popular actress on some fabulous shows. She's going to be talking about freezing your eggs. We're going to be talking about vaccinations, hot topic, right? We're also going to be talking about sports injuries and how moms can prevent them, head, heat, and heart injuries with Kimberly Archer. And children's probiotics with Jen Cherry from Everitis and BioGaia. And we're going to wrap up the show talking about Pi Day, which is March 14th, 314. Get it? It's going to be a great show. I'll be right back with our first guest, Elizabeth Higgins Clark.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
This is Marion for Maria back on Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to introduce our first guest, who's going to talk about a really interesting and timely topic for career women and women of advanced age who just maybe get married late or just, again, put their career first. Elizabeth Higgins Clark, who many of you know, and I'm a big fan, she has been a very popular actress on shows like NBC's The Mindy Project, CBS's Criminal Minds, General Hospital, All My Children, which are ABC brands. So it's a real thrill to have you with us on Mom Talk Radio, Elizabeth. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so you are an advocate for freezing your eggs, and your story is interesting. And
I'm not exactly an advocate for freezing your eggs, but I am an advocate for fertility education. I think that's the real thing. So, you know, I don't think that every girl should be out there freezing her eggs, but I do think every girl should learn about it.
Absolutely. So, and so I'll retract my statement and say you're about choices, fertility choices then.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay.
And
I actually had a friend who froze her eggs for health reasons, and she was hovering around 30, and she got very sick, and her doctor said, you know, if you even think you want to have children later on, she had advised her to do that, and she's now the proud mom of twins. So it does have also medical reasons as well. But give us your reasons why you advocate that choice. Or excuse me, I'm using that word again. Sorry. Give us your reasons why you like that choice.
Well, for me, I read a brief article in January of 2014 about a woman freezing her eggs. Not freezing her eggs, but a woman who gave birth to her first child at the age of 49. And I kind of thought, wow, how does that happen? And so when I started doing some more research, and I learned that most likely, given that woman's advanced age, that was probably a donor egg. And I started to think, wouldn't it be interesting if I could be my own egg donor? And that's kind of how it led me to egg freezing.
Right. So you're taking control of your biological clock because of your career?
For a lot of reasons. You know, I was 29 at the time, and I just knew that I wasn't ready to have children. And partially it's because I am focused on my career, but it's also because I take becoming a parent very seriously, and I knew that I wouldn't be a happy one if I kind of pushed the fast forward button on that.
Right.
So
if you rushed it.
Mm-hmm. And I just knew that I wasn't ready for it. And so that's kind of why I made that decision.
So you wrote an article called 12 Reasons I Froze My Eggs Before My 30th Birthday. Tell us about that, that article. And it's really caught on.
I'm really glad that BuzzFeed ran the article, and, you know, I kind of just made it, and they ended up putting it on their front page, which was great because I've been doing a lot of interviews about egg freezing, and I did a big piece for the CBS Evening News, which was great, and I was so happy that they did the story. But the thing is that the girls that I'm trying to reach, most of them don't watch the CBS Evening News, you know, but they do look at BuzzFeed. So I think BuzzFeed's become a really great tool to kind of reach that demographic that I was kind of going for.
Absolutely. That target market, you're right, isn't watching the late night or the evening news. They're online, probably on their lunch break.
Yeah, they're online.
So, yeah.
And so that's why I've been really excited to be able to, you know, to come on a program like yours or do a Q&A for a blog or anything like that, because I just kind of, I'm interested in engaging kind of on a broad spectrum of outlets that hopefully will find their way to younger women, whether it's the young women finding it themselves or their mothers seeing it and passing it along, things like that.
Right. So what did you learn when you were actually, again, you saw the article about the woman giving birth at an advanced age, and then you did your own digging. What would you tell our listeners is what you found is the most interesting facet of this decision?
I think we've been misled a bit to think that it's easy to get pregnant in your late 30s and early 40s. And, you know, I think because we always hear about the women who do, you know, everyone knows women who have had babies in their 40s. I know my great grandmothers on my father's side, both my great grandmothers had children in their 40s, and that well before IVF or anything like that. And that's amazing, but that's not the norm. That's not what usually happens. And so the thing is that the women who are struggling and are having such a hard time getting pregnant, a lot of them don't want to talk about it, which is fine. And they don't, but we don't hear about the ones that are struggling. We hear about the ones that have the babies. And I think that's kind of part of the problem. And, you know, and we see celebrities on covers of magazines, and they've had having babies later in life. And I don't think those celebrities are under any obligation to discuss how they got pregnant, but a lot of times it's not, you know, there could be IVF, there could be donor eggs, there could be a lot of things that I don't think we necessarily think about.
Right.
And so we're just kind of, we're a little misled about that it's easy to get pregnant at that point. And for a lot of women, it's not.
Well, because, yeah, it's, as you said, the older women, that's what make the headlines. And the women who are that same age and don't have the star power or whatever, they're struggling in the background, you know. So that's very interesting. And when you actually went through the process, did anything change or did your views become stronger about preserving fertility, your stance on it?
I don't know if my stance became stronger, but I do feel very passionately about the fact that women need to be getting this information at a younger age. So that I don't know why I happened to read that article that night last January, and then all of a sudden it sparked this whole thing in me. But what if I hadn't read that article?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just such a good point, because again, I think the number because I had actually my last child at 39, which I was advanced age, and I had all the extra tests, and you know, it was scary. But I think my OBGYN at that point told me the numbers dropped so drastically. Fertility rates drop so drastically after 35, I think, is that magic number. And don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. And it was just like, whoa,
no,
it was really scary.
That's pretty standard. Yeah.
The standard kind of cutoff age. Well, thank you so much. You've given us a real interesting topic to discuss. And if our listeners want to find your article, which is really great, it's at BuzzFeed.com.
Yeah, it's at BuzzFeed.com, and then I'm on Instagram and Twitter at EHC522, and on Facebook under Elizabeth Higgins Carr.
Okay, EHC522, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yep, and we'll post all that on Mom Talk Radio next week, MomTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with your career. We will continue to watch your terrific success. And that was Elizabeth Higgins Clark. And when we come back, we are going to introduce the Spotlight on Moms and Kimberly Archie. Stay with us. We're back with the Spotlight on Moms on Mom Talk Radio. This is one of my favorite segments. We are pleased to introduce Kimberly Archie. Kimberly is the mom of three children, and her Twitter account is Kimberly Archie. And she has a variety of websites and sports journals that she writes for, so I'll let her talk about that. But we're really going to be talking about a really critical issue for parents, which is head, heat, and heart injuries in youth sports. And it's become such a hot topic because you just obviously some heartbreaking stories make headlines. So let's talk about that. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Kimberly.
Hi, thanks for having me. Head, heat, and heart concerns in youth sports are in the spotlight because those are the most common ways that kids die in sports. And so they're also, for like heat illness, it's 100% preventable. So they're important topics for parents to understand because, nothing is more devastating than for a parent to lose a child, and particularly for a preventable injury as well. There's also a big focus on head injuries because of the NFL concussion case.
Right. Now, how can moms and dads play a role in preventing injuries, particularly because I think as our children get older, we drop them off and we walk, we leave. And if they're not being, if the coaches are just pushing them, especially now we live in Florida, so we have heat issues, how do we stay on top of their injury prevention, let's say?
Right now, I think the most important thing for parents to understand about heat, head, and heart prevention is policy. Because you're right, we do drop them off, and it's coaches, and we don't want to be helicopter parents. We don't want to be that parent who's looked at for, like, bugging the coaches or thinking they can coach the team. And so want to make sure that the policies and procedures that are in place for your school, for the rec league or the YMCA or whatever organization your kid's sport team is connected to, that they have the proper policies in place. Are they meeting, like, the gold standard? And you don't want to look to the rules of the game for child protection. You want to look at child protection laws. So you want to make sure your child's organization is up to date. Do they have access to athletic trainers, particularly mm-hmm. for contact sports? But it's really great for all sports. Also, do they have an automatic external defibrillator? And does somebody know how to use it? Are they trained? Are there people trained in CPR and first aid? If you don't have an athletic trainer, do they have an emergency plan for head, heat, and heart issues? And have they rehearsed them? Have they worked with local EMS?
Right.
To make sure that they're prepared if the prevention plans fall through, you know, can they respond?
That's excellent, excellent advice. So if I'm a mom and my child is playing contact, you know, full pads football, so do I approach the coach first or do I go to the, like you said, the organization, if it's a city rec league, if it's a PAL or if it's a private, if it's a club? I have a daughter who plays club volleyball. So where's our first step if we're going to make sure the policies are in place?
Right. So you look and see what the policies are and do they match up to, like, right. what the National Athletic Trainers Association are recommending. You know, do they match what pro athletes are getting? Why should kids get less than the pros get? As moms, mm-hmm. we would never want less for our kids than an adult would get, right?
Right.
So you look to those gold standards and then you look at your local organization, see what policies they have in place, and then find out who's in charge of that. If there's a board of directors, if there's a committee for that, then you write to them, ask them, you know, what their policies are in writing. And then if they're deficient in an area, ask them how you can help. Maybe it's money. Maybe they didn't know. This mm-hmm. is a very fast-paced, changing time right now where we're really realizing that in sports, we're riding down the freeway with our kids in the back of the truck 80 miles an hour, and we've got to slow down, get in the front seat, and get our seatbelt on. And it's, mm-hmm. we're really in this changing time right now, which is really great for kids because they're going to be more and more protected. And as moms, it's our job to make sure that these new policies are in place at the local level.
Awesome information. That's so useful. And again, we can affect change starting at the local level, which is what we can all do. So where do our listeners find more information from and articles that you've written more about the topic?
Well, they can go to nationalcheersafety.com and look at our safety library. And we have stuff about emergency plans, heat illness, AEDs, a lot of things we talked about. And you can okay. also just Google my name, Kimberly Archie. I've done everything from People Magazine to Washington Post.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us on Montauk Radio. And we will also provide the link to National Cheer Safety and your Twitter ID on montaukradio.com when the show is posted in the archives. Thanks so much for joining us. And when we jump back to the show after this quick break, we will talk to Jen Cherry, who is the president of Everitas Health Sciences. We'll be talking about children's probiotics and gut health. Stay with us.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Welcome back. This is Marion for Maria on Mom Talk Radio. And our next guest is Jen Cherry, who is the president of Everitas Health Sciences. And Jen has has been the president for a while, and she is going to talk to us about BioGaia Protectus. And it is all about digestive health, which we know with our kids, it can be a really important topic. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Jen.
Thank you very much, Mary. How are you?
Great, thanks. So
good.
Tell us, what is BioGaia?
BioGaia Protectus is a probiotic supplement for children. And it's a product out of Sweden that we sell here in the U.S. It's sold all over the world, almost every country, and it's in a fabulous product. You can't be without it. It promotes digestive health in children, and it's a great thing to have in your medicine cabinet because you never know when you're going to need
yes.
something for your children. So
it's
a natural. It's a natural product. It has no side effects. It's completely safe. It's been clinically studied in well over 100 clinical trials, and it's shown to promote not only digestive health, it also promotes immune health. So it's a great product.
Right. So how is it different from, honestly, it's overwhelming sometimes when you look at probiotics and you think, oh, which one do I choose? Why would we choose Protectis?
That's a great question. So there are, you can go into the health food store, the drug store, and you'll see, you know, miles and miles, hundreds of probiotic supplements, and mm-hmm. they're all different. Each probiotic has its own strain, and BioGaia's strain is L. wardereyi Protectis, and it's exclusive to BioGaia. So the other probiotics have different strains. You've got, you know, Acidophilus and Bifidobacteria and
all kinds
of other strains. So each strain has a different property that and mechanism how it works in the body. So another good point to point out is that not all of them have been clinically studied. In fact, most of the products in the marketplace do not have the scientific substantiation that BioGaia does, especially in children. So most of the supplements, probiotic supplements in the marketplace haven't even been studied in children, let alone studied at all. So BioGaia is, like I said, their exclusive strain is L. wardereyi Protectis. It's been studied in over 100 clinical trials. It's proven both safe and effective in children. It has no side effects. It actually does what we say it's going to do. So some of the other supplements, they have no scientific backing to support their claim that they're promoting digestive health. So that is the main difference between BioGaia and the other probiotic supplements. Another difference is our delivery forms.
Right. So I was just going to ask you that.
They're great. So you've got the drops, you've got the chewable tablets, and you've got drinking straws. So it doesn't matter your child, the age, or how picky they are. There's something for everyone. And the chewable tablets, my kids love them. They taste kind of like sweet tarts. They're so good. So every day they're like, give me my BioGaia, Mom. Then if you've got a picky eater, you've got the drops. You can put it in food or drink so they won't even know that they're getting them. So they're very easy to take.
My cabinet,
so that's
actually.
Another.
Yeah. I said my cabinet has the straws. I just keep it in there.
Oh, yeah. Those are great, too.
My girls love it. So it's great.
Yes. Those are great, too. So you can add those to any, just put them in any drink.
Right.
Juice box, whatever you want, and they don't even know they're getting the good stuff, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about are there different Protectis products, or is there just one?
It's the same strain in
all the
different products. So it doesn't matter what your age, or it's the same amount for no matter what your age, and each product has the same amount of bacteria in it. So you can just pick and choose whichever product that you want. It's great.
Okay.
Very easy.
It is easy. Yes. And honestly, like, you just never know with kids if, you know, they just, you know, they come home from school with everything. So,
So I give my kids BioGaia every day. And studies have shown kids that take the product every day, it supports immune health. So it's been shown to reduce absenteeism from school, daycare, things like that. It's actually, they did studies in adults, too, that took it in the workplace, and they reduced absenteeism in the workplace. So taking it daily supports your immune health, which we love. For I know when my kids get sick, then I have to stay home, and it's a big hassle. So keeping the whole family healthy benefits us all. So
Yeah, my kids they'd say, don't make us healthy so we have to go back to school.
Especially my middle schooler. Went through that with snow days. They were like, what? I'm like, yes, you have to go to school.
Go.
So you can have it when your kids have digestive issues. So you never know when they have a stomach ache or they get constipated or they have diarrhea. It works in all those conditions. So keep it in your medicine cabinet and, you know, give it to them, like I said, when they have a stomach ache or if they have diarrhea, give it to them for, you know, 5 days. If they have constipation, a great time is when you're potty training. I know my kids, when they were potty training, they were constipated all the time. So just while you're going through that transition, give them the product every day, and it promotes healthy bowel movements, which is great. So they don't get stomach aches. So either way you want to use it, it can be used either way. But it's a definite addition you should have in your medicine cabinets.
Exactly. So I love the study part. It's amazing how you can put something on a shelf and not have any background, you know, back up some studies, proven clinical studies, which is amazing. So where can our listeners get it? And tell us where we can find out more information about just the probiotic supplements and BioGaia.
Great. Yes. Yeah. So it's available at Walgreens.
Okay.
And you can also buy it online, or you can go to any pharmacy counter. And it's behind the pharmacy counter. So if you go to our website, www.childrensprobiotics.com, it tells you how to obtain the product.
Okay.
Or for more information, you can also go to biogaia.com. So they have a lot of great information on their website also.
Great. And that's biogaia.com because
you
have to spell that out.
That's correct.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Jen, for joining us and for the great information about probiotics. And when we come back, we are joined by Peter Kesey, who's going to talk about vaccinations, another really hot topic in the news today.
Moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, I will be talking about vaccines and vaccinations with Peter Kesey, who lives in Washington, D.C., near Capitol Hill. And Peter and his wife have an 18-month-old and another on the way. And, of course, the whole vaccine topic is just really still very hot in the news because of unvaccinated children. Parents have opted out of the vaccinations. And we'll let Peter, let's talk about Peter's campaign. You have a Kickstarter campaign. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you so much. Yes, that's right.
So you have a Kickstarter project? Yeah.
To put 50,000 I'm vaccinated stickers in pediatricians' offices across the United States. The idea being that it would be sort of like an I voted when you go to the voting booth. And
we're
trying to send stickers for both parents and adults.
Okay. So what happened in your experience that made you start this campaign with your wife?
It was a pretty awkward conversation we were having. Folks on Capitol Hill tend to be pretty liberal. So we were having a friendly conversation about global warming. And when we started talking about vaccination, the couple we were talking to got very quiet. So it occurred to us then that vaccination is one of those things that you can't talk about with other parents. And we don't think that should be the case. And we wanted to find a positive way to sort of show support for vaccination.
Right. Well, honestly, that's when I saw this topic come up, it's not only is it in the news, obviously, I have three children, and when my oldest, he's 14, when he was a baby, I remember going to a play date, and it was the same thing. It was almost like religion and politics. Like when you went to a play date, you didn't talk about pro-vaccine versus anti-vaccines. And one mom in particular, I remember, and I want to call her up today and say, look, see, I told you, I was trying to argue the point that you guys are making, it's okay if you choose not to, but then when your child goes to school and brings something into the classroom, it just becomes this slippery slope, I think. So that's, again, my opinion, and it's a very hot topic. And parents, and in her case, she was very much about, it was her, what did she use? A religious exemption? I think that's what she used. So
yeah, there are all sorts of exemptions people can get. And I think when people talk about personal choice, I'm all about parental choice.
Right.
I mean, there are a million different ways to raise a kid. But with something as important as this, it's not really talking about the health of your child. You're endangering the health of everyone's child. And so that's when I think parental choice sort of gets trumped by the greater good,
everyone
understands to be a healthy community. Healthy
right.
School.
But to play devil's advocate, I'm going to say I'm a parent. It's my choice. What do you say to that parent to vaccinate or not?
I think an analogy can be, it's your right not to put your kid in a child's seat. It's not your right to drive around without brakes on your car.
Right.
The right of raising your child stop when it starts affecting other people's children and other people's children's well-being. I mean,
right.
I wish this were a case that, you know, people could choose. And, you know, this were just a matter of choice, but it's not. It's a matter of public health and children's safety.
Right. So you came up with the idea of stickers. Kids love stickers, right?
Yeah,
so
stickers.
What else is the program? Right. What's the program about? What else is it about? And if listeners are interested in helping out, what can we do?
So the idea is that if you donate or if you contribute $10 to our Kickstarter, we'll send 100 stickers to your pediatrician's office. $25 gets you a fashionable tote bag, you know, bring the fight to the co-op. Mm-hmm. And then $50 will get you 2 tote bags and the stickers. And to find our Kickstarter, you can just go to Kickstarter and search ProVaccination, or you can just Google Kickstarter ProVaccination. And the name of our Kickstarter is Give Our Kids a Shot.
Ah, okay. Very catchy. Speaking of pediatricians, what is their take on it? Are you getting any pushback? Are they accepting of the – do they like the program you started?
So they absolutely love it. I was, took my son in for his shot just a week ago, and I gave a couple sheets of stickers to our pediatrician. She was very excited about it. I've been tweeting with other pediatricians on Twitter, and they're very excited about it. Everybody that I talked to at my daycare, including that director, is very excited about it. So I think as far as that community goes, I think we have their support pretty solidly.
Good, good. And actually, when I was vaccinating my son, again, he's 14, I think it was so many shots in that first year or two, and it was so overwhelming for me. But again, my pediatrician just kept saying, the risks don't outweigh the benefits, and you know it's so important to do this. And think of all the, you know, life threatening illnesses that have just been eliminated because of vaccines and the invent. You know, just so much scientific progress in the last 50 years. Even you don't have to go back 50, maybe even 100. So, really fascinating topic. And again, you know, it's a very hot topic and a very controversial one, but. Again, if you're pro-vaccine and you want to help out Peter and his cause, check out Kickstarter.com, and it's called Pro-Vaccines, Give Our Kids a Shot. Thanks so much for joining us, Peter. What's new and next for you? Anything coming up?
No, nothing coming up. Our Kickstarter is coming to an end shortly, and then we are just going to be buying some tote bags, and we're probably going to just send a bunch of stickers to pediatricians' offices, the ones that we got right now.
Right.
So that's what's next.
Great. Well, that's important. So thank you so much for joining us, and we appreciate your efforts, and good best of luck with your campaign. So that was Peter Kesey. And to wrap the show, I'm going to be talking to Dune Wintz about Pi Day on March 14th. This is going to be a fun topic. Stay with us. This is Marion for Maria. On this last segment of Mom Talk Radio, we're going to be talking a really fun topic, which is Pi Day on 314, March 14th, which is this week. I'm pleased to welcome Dune Wintz. And Dune is the CEO and president of Holy Wholesome and Holy Gluten Free. And the website is holywholesome.com. I have to say that 3 times real fast. So I'm going to talk about National Pi Day, and I'm going to digress one quick second, and I have to read an email. I have 2 children in middle school, and their math teacher, Mrs. Shear, does this Pi Day. This year it's unfortunately on Saturday, but she's going to do it on Friday. And she sent this email. It's hilarious because this year, March 14th, 314, but then it's the equivalent, the approximate value of pi being 3.1415, which is this year, 92654. So at 9, the 9th hour, the 26th minute and 54 second, it's going to be an epic Pi Day. I thought that was a great email she wrote about everything. The whole number of pi this year is going to be spot on. So something will happen in the universe at that point in time. So tell us about National Pi Day and what the celebration means to you.
Well, I will tell you what I will be doing at 3.1415 92654.
I will
be sharing a breakfast gluten-free pizza pie, because pizza is pie. So that's what I'll be doing at that time. But, you know, what Pi Day is you've explained it pretty darn well. I couldn't have explained it better, is that it's a celebration of the Pi, P-I, and P-I-E just having the same kind of sound. And so that date, 3.14, 314, is the date, one day of many to celebrate Pi. And it's just a bit of fancy and a bit of fun and a way to try and turn food into math, which is
absolutely
not a bad thing.
Right. So, and it's a great way to get your kids involved in math. And so that's what this teacher does, is bring in, everybody has to bring in a pie of some, or circular. It could be cookies. It could be pizza pie. It can be a fruit that you've cut into, you've sliced. So the circles, and then they measure it. They literally, every child has to take their little ruler and make the calculations. So what's your tips for making the perfect pie and how we get kids involved?
Well, okay. Those are two different things. So my tip for making the perfect pie is, if you're making a two crust pie, a little hint, you know, if you're baking a pie in the oven, usually what most people find is that the outside of the pie will brown quicker than the inside of the pie, the center part of the pie. So I like to use a pie shield, which just covers the rim, and I'll use it for the first about half hour of the bake, and then I take it off afterwards, and then I get a more even look. If you don't have a pie rim protector, you can make one. You just take a piece of aluminum foil, you fold it in half, you cut about, a 3-inch semicircle out of it, so make a 6-inch circle when you open it up, and you lay that gently, ever so gently, over your pie, and you've got a pie protector and a pie shield, and you'll wind up taking that off, and you'll have a much more consistent color. So that's one tip.
Great.
As far as getting your kids involved with making pies, well, realize it is so easy. You can. It's hard to make a mistake. Like, if you want to make an apple pie, seriously, making an apple pie can take you preparation time less than 15 minutes. You know, and you can do this with your kid. Apple pies are so easy to do it with. You just take whatever kind of apples you like. I like to use like Pink Lady apples or Fuji apples, and you peel them and core them, which only takes a couple of minutes. Very easy to do. You toss them in a bowl, and you add in some sugar, some cinnamon, some nutmeg, some clove, and whatever quantity you like. Just don't add it. Just add a little bit of a time. Just toss it up until it smells right to you. If it smells right, it's going to be right. You take a pie shell. You buy a pie shell. Maybe it's a Holy Wholesome organic pie shell. We like those.
Absolutely.
So whatever is good for you. You take a pie shell. You dump those apples in, and then you take the other pie shell, because usually it's two. You just flip it over. Take away the tin. You don't have to roll it out. You don't have to do anything special. You just take your thumbs and you crimp the edges. You make a little slit in it. You take some egg wash and with a little bit of egg and a little bit of milk. Beat it up. Paint the top of it to make it shinier. If you're a vegan, you can just take one part hot water to two parts to three parts sugar. Beat that up. You brush it on the top. It gives you a nice look. You throw it in the oven. It really only takes about 15 minutes. Then you're in the oven at 385 for about 45 minutes, or until the crust is nice and golden brown. And that's it.
So tell us where we can learn more about Holy Wholesome and your products.
You can go to Pinterest, you can go to Facebook, you can go directly to the website, www.holywholesome, www.holesome.com, go into your local natural food store.
Great. Thank you so much for all your help and your suggestions and your tips. And we will have a link to holywholesome.com on Mom Talk Radio. And that wraps the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week. And Maria will be back behind the mic next week with another fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio.